All right. Hi, everybody. I have 3:30 or 3:30, and I see myself and Diane here, so as well as staff. So I think we're safe to get started with the September 7th Des Moines Water Works Planning Committee meeting. We'll just have folks introduce themselves as they speak, if that works for everybody. And begin with the first agenda item, the new Des Moines Water Works website.
Yes, Andrea, thank you. First of two items here on today's agenda is the new website. Laura Sarcone is actually gonna walk us through website. Des Moines Water Works has had a standalone website for a number of years. And I think the first thing Laura is going to do is kind of walk you through the history of that. It's incredibly interesting to see how the look and feel has changed over time. I think you'll find that kind of enjoyable to see. But then more importantly, she's going to walk us through the new website quickly and some of the really amazing features that we've been able to add here in the most recent version. So with that, Laura, I'll hand it off to you and let you walk us through.
Excellent. I am attempting to screen share. Rachel, can you stop sharing your screen so I can, please? Thank you. All right. Let me get a PowerPoint ready to go. Okay. So as Ted said, we have a brand new website that was launched on August 2nd of this year. But before we dive into the new look and feel of that new website, I thought we would take a stroll down memory lane. We have had quite the evolution of Des Moines Water Works' website, dmww.com. And these are screenshots pulled off of a website called archive.org, where it takes just a snapshot of a website in a particular given time. These aren't actual dates of when we went live per se, but these are the snapshots from that particular month and year. So in 98, we had a very beautiful website of the time, I assume. And then we'll scroll into some other fun website versions, pretty text heavy. I think that was pretty common of the day to have a lot of information on the homepage. And then 2002, we added some more photos, still a lot more text on the web. Homepage, but we added some quick links and some menu bars at the top. So we're trying to get people to click on topics that they can find their information that they're looking for. So some streamlined navigation as we go through the years of our website design, August 2003. July of 2006, certainly some different looks and feels. We went through a blue and orange period of our color scheme. So this was January of 2008. It was cutting edge at the time. November of 2011 is our most recent website redesign. And we really did enhance quite a few customer features at that time, an account portal where customers would log in and see some of their meter readings, and consumption alert requests. So this was a huge a customer service upgrade in our offering to our customers. And then today, this is our new look and feel of dmww.com, a striking photo on the website homepage with Water You Can Trust for Life, our tagline. And it's a very streamlined, hopefully easily navigable website for our customers and visitors to use. And I'm going to attempt to stop that and switch to a new website. There we go. So this is our live website. And just a brief overview of this design process that was launched before it launched in August 2nd of this year. The request for proposals and vendor selection process actually started in mid-2019. Revise out of Troy, Michigan, a municipal website design company, was selected as our vendor in 2019. Due to staffing needs and changing business requirements for the customer service CIS project, once the website vendor was selected and initial discovery and design phases were conducted, the rest of the project was delayed until after CIS go live in late 2020. So in early 2021 was when the bulk of staff dedicated their time to launching the new website that rolled out late summer of this year. The final cost of the redesign was $58,000, and there will be an annual hosting cost of about $7,000. This website is hosted off-site and not on Des Moines Water Works' servers. And also with this vendor, we receive product and functionality updates that all their clients receive. And in addition, we receive a website redesign refresh every 4 years. So we'll be on a more regular schedule to get creative refreshes every 4 years. So that is a huge benefit to us. All right, just to make sure you can see the homepage correctly.
Yep. Looks good. Yeah.
All right. So here is dmww.com. As visitors and customers would type into their search bar and come to this homepage. Much of the informative content of Des Moines Water Works' website remains the same. However, we did add some enhanced customer features to the new website, which I will point out to for you today. I think one of the most exciting feature that I'm currently really excited about for our customers and visitors to use is our language translation service here on our website. You can click this top right green button, drop-down menu button, and find over 80 languages that you can translate the website into. And I will translate to Spanish just to show you that all the text within the web pages translate into Spanish, and then you can translate back into a different language as well. So really a great feature that I think we're pretty proud of. The next feature that I want to point out to you is our Notify Me section. This is kind of a great feature that you will see on a lot of city council websites that you can be added to a list. Anytime an update to that listing is made, you will receive either an email or a text saying there has been an added board agenda, an added news item to that particular page. And that way, frequent visitors of news releases or news announcements like the media, they can be notified instantaneously when those updates have been made. So you can enter your email address right here as a customer or a visitor, and then select which item you would like to be alerted by. There's board meetings, committee meetings that have separate pages for agendas. The news list would be for our news releases and announcements. water outages, and also our streamlined bids and RFP listings. So if you're a vendor that frequently bids on our projects, this would be a great one for you to register and be notified. Next, that really you can't see here on a desktop version, but I want to point out that it is mobile friendly. So on different devices, you can, the screen resolution shrinks down to your device size. So that is very helpful. You had on our previous website, you had to pinch and zoom in order to read some of the content. So this will be mobile friendly for our visitors and also mobile friendly for us as content users. We can update on mobile devices and not just on desktops like we were previously restricted to on our website. Also here on the homepage is an enhanced search field of the Des Moines Water Works website. So if you're coming here as a customer or a visitor, you can type in the topic that you hope to find, and it will pull up right here on our website. So you, if you're looking for the most recent water shortage plan, you typed in the search field, and here it is, part of our rules and regs, number 515 water shortage plan. So certainly very useful for that. And then finally, a new feature that we are excited to show you today is under water service, service lines, lead service line lookup. So in anticipation of the revised lead and copper rule requirements, Des Moines Water Works is now allowing customers to look up their tap date of their property. As you may be aware, homes constructed before 1940 may be served by lead water service lines, and copper pipe installed before 1985 may have been installed using lead-containing solder. So if a customer comes here and types in their address, you can see that it is a result, the 1940 tap date with a result of suspected lead. So then up here in the narrative, we really encourage customers to then call customer service to discuss next steps with that. If it is not suspected lead, it'll say unknown. Again, customers can call customer service and discuss what that unknown means. Customer service has a bit more information in our database to look into their tap dates to give them a better idea of what their suspected service line date would be, or their tap date was.
Laura, sorry to interrupt you, but is this particular feature something that we're pushing out and promoting or waiting until that?
We are waiting. Yes, that's my next point. More public communication is going to go out with this particular lead service line lookup page once the lead and copper rule is finalized. We're really waiting on seeing what comes down and have a communication plan around that. And this will be one of the tools in the communication plan for that.
So Laura, I'm confused. Will it be in there now and just no information going out, or will we launch it when we send out information?
This is live in our website right now. So if customers do stumble upon it, or they call customer service and say, hey, what day, I think I have lead service lines, can you help me? Customer service can either help the customer right then and there or instruct them on how to go to this website and find it.
Thank you.
Yep. All right.
Laura, can you mentioned it earlier, but when the result says unknown, can you say again kind of what would lead to that and what our thinking is about, you know, it, obviously that's kind of a, maybe an unsettling answer for some people to get unknown. Can you kind of go into that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, Joel. So if it doesn't fall in between those dates that we suspect lead service lines, it'll say unknown. It does talk up above in the narrative that we really encourage customers to call us on the customer service department We have a lot more information at our fingertips that can certainly help guide the customer into a better description and what we can find in our system.
No one will ever receive a statement that says, you know, no lead or unknown is kind of the best answer you can get.
Correct. Yep.
I can imagine why we wouldn't want to be more descriptive or, you know, state that there's no concern or nothing.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Joel. Back onto the homepage, you'll see again various streamlined design. We really focused on creating the navigation tools up top and on to the left-hand side of your screen. We call those left-hand buttons on the left-hand side of your screen called quick links. When you're on a mobile device, it'll actually be below the photo. So that's where the quick links will be when customers are visiting on a mobile device. But these are our most frequented used buttons or features and pages within our website. And a few of those, as you can expect, are pay my bill and account sign in. We love when customers come to our website and want to pay their bill, so we made that as obvious as possible. Another portion of this quick links is our water outages and advisory areas. There are currently no water outages, thankfully, here in our system. Otherwise, you would see the date and location of the water outage. And then also, if we have deployed an automated notification system using our geographically based calling system to our customers, you can find those here as well. So if customers have a missed call and they received a message, they can come here and listen to the message again or see the affected area. So they may say, well, my neighbor has a message, but I'm not included in that message. So they can see where that actual advisory area is deployed for.
And Laura, Des Moines Water Works internally has the capability of making any updates and uploading any new information to the website. It's not that we have to go through this third party who's hosting it every time we want to do something, correct?
Yes, we have content management users here on site within every department. So they are making their own updates. Yep, great question. Also, as you would expect, there are some other great returning customer features, including customers who want to start new service. They can request that here online. Also, our water quality, our daily water quality information is also here. And back by popular demand is consumption alert requests. So this is very beneficial for customers to request a consumption alert threshold. And we've provided some guidelines on what a typical household or property would be using. They can set that threshold for themselves. And if they go over that threshold in a day, they would then get an email notification alerting them of the daily threshold exceedance. And then they can potentially quickly identify a leaky toilet or a running hose bib. It's a great tool for customers to identify high consumption before they receive their bill. So certainly something we encourage all customers to use. Finally, with our streamlined website, I want to point out where you guys live. So here is our Board of Trustees website. Just as like our previous website, there is a link for board members to be contacted. And also our streamlined board meetings. We have the agenda, the packet, a video link, and minutes after they are approved at the board meeting. Finally, I just want to point out our park events are also hosted there with a calendar feature. And then I just want to briefly talk about our customer response and then open it up in case you have heard any response. Yep.
When you say our park events, does it include the foundation things or is it?
Yes, it does. Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Because I don't think people distinguish between the foundation and waterworks.
Correct. So we have a few, nonprofit 5Ks. We have a wedding, but we also have a concert up here, the Waterworks Park concert that was held Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
So the customer response so far has been good. Our contact center has been assisting customers navigating the new website, whether on a desktop or mobile device. Some of the early feedback received included suggestions on how to rename some of these quick links here on your left-hand side of the screen. Customers were very adamant that we had to call not just pay my bill, but we also had to add the words account sign-in. So we were quickly, we were able to quickly deploy that here to make that more easily identifying to as many people as possible. So we get customers where they want to be in our website. And so with that, I will open up to any questions or if you've had experienced any feedback yourself.
Laura, what ability do we have to track use and engagement of the website? Do we have metrics on how many people a day are logging on and where they're going, how they use it and whatnot?
Correct. Yes, we do have Google Analytics deployed with this website, so we'll be able to see how many customers are visitors are visiting our website daily, what links they're clicking on, how long they stay per page is another metric that we're able to use. So quite a bit of information will come out of that.
Have we had that in the past as well with the previous iteration of our website?
I don't think it was widely used with our previous website.
So we'll start having some new information coming in on kind of how people are accessing this. Okay. I'll be interested to hear how kind of people are using our website.
Yep.
Thanks. And I guess more generally, I think it looks really nice. Well done.
Thank you, Joel. It was a great team effort led by customer service, Amy and Pat in IT and his staff. So it was a great team effort.
It does look great. I have to echo Joe's comments there. And I also appreciate how quickly you guys have been able to integrate the customer feedback and make those changes. And I think that's key with being able to control the content there locally rather than being dependent on that third party.
Absolutely.
Any other questions or comments?
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Laura. I appreciate all the work that staff has done on this.
Thanks. I'll pass it along.
Yeah. So moving to the next agenda item, the hydraulic model, is that Innoviz?
Innoviz, yes.
Innoviz?
Andrea, we, Des Moines Waterworks has been using computerized hydraulic modeling of our water distribution system for more than 30 years. When I got here, we had a very, what I would call rudimentary kind of entry level modeling software, and over the years we've been able to update that pretty substantially. And today we're going to hear from Bob Jolly, who's a supervisor in our engineering department, and Brian Polpeter is also here. Brian is the one who actually does a lot of the running of the model and using the actual software. So he's here too if we get into specific questions about that. But Bob Jolly is going to walk us through the most recent version of hydraulic modeling software that we just acquired called Innovyze, and talk about some of the features and some of the benefits it's going to provide. So Bob, I'll hand it to you.
Thanks, Ted. Let's see if I can share my screen here, my PowerPoint. Technical difficulty there. I just can't get it to display this left-hand screen. I had a problem this morning.
Bob, I can see your PowerPoint slide right now.
But you're just seeing the creation slide, right? Not the actual slideshow?
Correct. It has the slides on the side too.
Yeah. Bob, I think if you start the slideshow from the beginning, it will show us what we want to see. You're on slideshow from the beginning.
Yeah. It moves it over to my other screen.
Now, you can, I think, go up to view options on the top of Zoom and switch source.
Stop share over here.
This is good education for me, too, because I feel like the same thing happens to me every time I try to do it.
I don't even try.
There we go. Can you see that?
There we go.
Sorry about that.
Yep, got it.
And that's even after practicing this morning. So hopefully the rest of this will go a little bit smoother. As Ted said, I'm here to talk to you about our hydraulic modeling software. Brian and I will both be in on this. Brian will just be here to rescue me if I go off into the weeds. There we go. All right, so what is hydraulic modeling? It's basically just a mathematical model of a distribution system that's used to analyze the hydraulic behavior. And hydraulic modeling helps us to understand and predict and managing our system performance. Hydraulic modeling software uses our existing geographic information system, GIS, uses that data and user entered parameters to predict system responses to various conditions without the need to create these conditions in the system for real. This GIS software is widely used by many people in our company, and they're very familiar and comfortable with the look of our GIS system. And our new modeling software, many of our screens will closely resemble this look, so that should help people feel more comfortable with what we're bringing to them. So why is hydraulic modeling important? It's important for managing existing infrastructure and to make sure customers have sufficient pressure and quantity of water in varying system conditions, verify adequate fire flow capabilities in the distribution system, and monitoring system water age and water quality. The picture in the bottom right of the screen shows one of our flow tests in progress. And this is how we currently measure our fire flow capacity. We do roughly about one of these a week. The flow tests take two people to do and about an hour and a half or more per test, including travel time. These tests Obviously, from the picture, you can tell that they can be disruptive to traffic. They waste water. They're very difficult to do in the winter. And they can cause property damage if we don't do them correctly. We have a goal of creating a model that's accurate enough to allow us to eliminate or greatly reduce the need for these flow tests. And it also gives us the ability to gather information for more than just the snapshot, that brief instant in time when we're doing that flow test. We can model our fire flow capacity at different times of day and different seasons. Hydraulic modeling is also important for determining capacity for future additions to the distribution system. Examples of that are the Microsoft data center additions, our West Des Moines system connections, and then also determining, as we said before, fire flow capacity for new businesses. In the past, we've used Water Gems, which is a Bentley product, to do our modeling. That's what we're currently using right now. We've used this software for many years, as Ted has said, not all of those 30 years that we've been doing modeling, but for the past many. And this Water Gems is a standalone product. And we are transitioning to using the Innovyze InfoWater Pro. Our staff did a lot of research, talking to people, reading about this product, obviously talking to their salespeople, and we discovered that this is a very user-friendly product, and it's also used by most large water utilities. Innovyze, it's a partner with Esri, who does our GIS software, and this partnership allows for a very smooth integration of our GIS data into the model. One of the most difficult parts of the model that we currently use is updating it to keep it current with changes in our system. And this should help greatly with that process. Some of the features for this InfoWater product, and try not to get too technical here, but it can compute things, head loss are in our bends, meters, fittings, and then also the energy supplied by pumps. We can calculate the available and design fire flows at minimum residual pressures. We can compute pumping energy and cost based on variable electricity and demand charges. So if our electricity is cheaper at night, it helps us to model situations where we're trying to maximize our pumpage in the cheaper electricity times and minimize when electricity is more expensive. We can model the levels of water towers, storage reservoirs, standpipes. We can troubleshoot our system. We project operating scenarios, perform what-if scenarios, and we can also model water main breaks and large leaks, which can be very beneficial to us. We can track the movement of non-reactive tracer materials through the network over time. A lot of water systems, what they do to try to determine how their water is getting to different parts of their system. If they feed fluoride, they can turn off their fluoride at the plant and then start taking samples periodically every 12 hours or so at hydrants in their system and analyze those samples and tell when that fluoride drop off gets to that point, so they have an idea of how fast that water got there. Then they can turn the fluoride back on and test again and see how fast they see the presence of fluoride return. With this modeling software, we don't have to do things like that. The model also can trace the movement and fate of reactive materials as it grows or decays. We can model how our disinfection byproducts that we struggle with, how they increase throughout the system and as the water age increases. And then also we can monitor decay of our chlorine residual for areas where we're having low chlorine residuals or God forbid, undetectable chlorine. And basically this is all done by calculating the age of the water in the network. And in the past, InfoWater has had several add-in features, apps that you could purchase separately to add into the product. Those all now with this InfoWater Pro current edition, they all just come with it. Many of these we will use. We will use the calibrator to make sure that what our model is showing us actually corresponds to what we're seeing in the system. And there is a feature called Protector. And I'd like to show you a brief video of that. And it shows not only does this software model the hydraulics in the system, but it has the capability of tying into customer data. And in situations where we have a contamination event, helping us reach out to the customers that we need to reach out to. It's not going to come out of the box like that for us, but this is one of our goals, is to reach the that level where we have that tied in with our system. This is about a 2-minute video, and I will do my best to share this with you. Are you seeing that?
No.
How about now?
We see the
slideshow.
The broad set of apps that are built in.
Are you seeing the video screen?
No, we're not.
No.
Well, Doug on it. I apologize, guys.
No worries.
This is Rachel. You'll need to stop sharing. I'm dragging this all to the other side momentarily. Oh, that's right. Right here. Stop sharing.
Okay.
Stop
sharing again.
I'm not going to share. Where's this video at?
That video is.
Cancel that for a minute.
There you go.
Are you seeing that?
Yes.
I need a babysitter for these things. Thanks, Mike, my hero. All right, I'm going to share this little 2-minute video. And it, again, it shows not only the power of the modeling and how fast it can do its calculations, but then also the ability to tie this in to customer information.
So I just wanted to kind of show off here a good example of one. If I've been to your office, you've probably seen me show you this one before. It's one of my favorites.
Are you hearing this?
This is a really good example of why it's important.
Yes.
That is GIS. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a contamination study. Protector is a really cool feature that allows you to do some very specific analysis without having to go in and create a brand new scenario that would set up the features a certain way. This allows you to really quickly tell what's going to happen. So in this example, we're going to assume that there's a contamination right here. Maybe there's a faulty backflow preventer. And we're saying it happens at 4 a.m. and it happens for 3 hours. So all I have to do is hit run here, and it will automatically figure out who will be affected by that in 3 hours, right? This is where that contamination could have spread within 3 hours. And again, that's all just hydraulics. Still pretty impressive how fast it was able to do that and the calculations it did there. But the really cool part, because we're inside of ArcGIS, I can hit the notify button, and instantly I know all of the parcels and all the customers that are going to be affected by that. So after 3 hours, 169 customers could be notified that we have, you know, boil water notice because someone had a faulty backflow connector. I could also then go back and do the same study and say, okay, well, what if we couldn't get it closed by 3 hours? Rerun that really quick and see how much worse it gets. So it went from about 170 to a little bit broader area here now. And now it's 370. So we more than doubled in that time period. So this is just one really easy example of why it's great to be able to interact with
And I'm back. That was all I had. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I had a question. This is Diane. My question is, I couldn't tell, are most of these capabilities new that everybody needs to be trained on? Did we have them before? And I don't want you to go functionality by functionality, but just talk about relative to the old system, what kind of a step change this is for you with its capabilities.
Well, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's quite a bit more capability in this new system, and it's also going to be much easier to use. Part of our process in dealing with Innovyze is not only do they help us build the model and commission it, but they also come in and give us training both in how to continue maintaining that model, taking our GIS data and making sure that it's current in the model, but then also teaching end users of the product how to set up various scenarios in the model to get the information that we want. Did I hit that okay, Brian?
Yes, sir. So this is a lot more easier to use. That's correct, but I mean, from what they showed us, so we'll see. The old software is pretty, you know, basically it looks like a bunch of lines on paper, and this new stuff is more like our GIS, so it'll be a lot easier. At the end of the day, this will be years down the road, but the control center will be able to mimic pump changes so they can see how the system's going to react. Like say there's several options that we have with this new software. So I'm excited to get going on it.
Brian's going to get it going just the way he wants, and then he's going to retire. So, any other questions?
And so with that preventer and that notify button, does that then, are you able to send out notifications from within that program, or is that something then you download and take to a different department to send out those notifications?
We currently do not have all of that information in our GIS system.
Okay.
So right out of the box, we wouldn't be able to do very much with it, other than we would, for that particular instance, we would know what addresses were affected. But I am not sure down the road if that would be through CIS that we would do that. Let CIS know who needs to be advised, or if that would be done through the modeling software.
Right now, Andrea, we could take the addresses and put them into our Code Red software, which is like a reverse 911 notification system that we use for main breaks and other outages today. And we can give that software a list and it will notify those people. So that's how we would have to do it today.
Any other questions?
Oh. Sorry. So how much, with there being so many new features, how much information will our staff have to either gather and upload or just digitize and upload to make this system as robust as it can be?
The process of getting all of our data to Innovyze happened months ago. We got that to them. They set up the model and examined it, and it kind of throws up red flags when it doesn't like the data. And we had 19,000 items that were flagged as being possible issues. Anything from where two pipes crossed but didn't actually connect, the software didn't really know what to do with those. We had to tell it that that was okay. We had areas where we, on our GIS show, for instance, flow meter pits, and the way that we graphically represent those is a pipe coming in at each end and then a gap between them. Innovyze thought that that was a, that there was nothing there, that each of those pipes was a dead end. So we had to rectify that situation. And then also, the way that we enter our GIS data, they'll put in a long piece of pipe and then attach hydrants to it where they belong and valves and things like that. In order to take full advantage of all of the capabilities of the Innovyze product, it wanted us to go to every hydrant and split that water main and take the, say for instance, if it was a north-south water main, to split the main and have the south part be one item and have the north part be the next item, and then at every single hydrant to do that. Fortunately, Innovyze came up with an automated system to do that part of it for us. But there was still lots of work. We submitted that. They came back with another list, much, much shorter, but still pretty time consuming for our GIS person to get in. And so now we've submitted that, and we have a meeting with them tomorrow to discuss how close we're getting with that and whether or not they're ready to turn the model over to us.
So again, this is just for distribution?
I'm not sure I understand your question. I'm sorry.
Well, is it for, does it take things out to the suburbs and our customers there?
It takes any of our water mains that we control, right, Brian?
Basically, the suburbs, you know, because we don't have all their GIS data.
Right.
So they're, you know, whether it's a meter pit or a connection point, that's where their load is loaded into the model. So it considers everything that they draw off of us. And so we don't have their pipes, I guess.
Brian, you want to comment on our total service customers like Pleasant Hill and Windsor Heights?
Yeah, so Pleasant Hill, all of our total service customers, Pleasant Hill, Windsor Heights, they are in our model, and we do have all our GIS data in there. Mm-hmm. Who else would there be? There's all of the Southeast Polk Rural Water Systems in there. A lot of the modeling that takes place right now is because of the Southeast Polk Rural Water System, is because anytime anybody wants our system out there, we have to actually plug a new service into the model because they're such small pipes. You know, you have a lot of 2-inch pipe, 2.5-inch, 3-inch pipe. So we have to make sure we don't overload those pipes and then cause low pressure. And then there's larger projects, you know, like the West Des Moines stuff that we worked on. It's a pretty cool tool. I anticipate we're probably going to be working on this for another 6 months anyway, because we have to calibrate it. Once they send it all to us, it should run, but then we have to calibrate it. We'll have to go out and do some flow tests, make sure it runs like our system does in the real world. And so that's going to take a lot of time, but it ought to be pretty interesting. And like Bob said, then I'll be out here. So.
He's not kidding.
No.
Any other questions? I'll throw it back to you, Ted.
Very good. Thanks, Bob and Brian and Laura for your presentations today. Andrea, shall I move on with my comments?
Yes, absolutely.
Just a couple quick things from me. As you all are aware, there is no customer relations committee meeting today, but next Tuesday, the 14th, following, immediately following the Finance and Audit Committee meeting, we are going to have a special board meeting, a full board meeting, with the only agenda item being a closed session to discuss regionalization and kind of the very last open items that we would like to discuss with the other board managed utilities. And then on the 17th, Friday of next week in the morning, we will be meeting select representatives from each of the three board managed utilities will be meeting to try to come to conclusion or consensus on the remaining outstanding issues or questions related to the sort of overall regionalization framework. So I think that's an important step, a big step, and hopefully we can come out of that meeting with a consensus. A couple of other just bits of information for the board. We still don't seem to get the rain in the right places where we'd like to have it, but we're doing okay. The rivers are low, like half of what would be typical for this time of year. Typically this time of year, the rivers would be a little lower than normal, obviously, but we're about half of what would be typical. But demand has moderated quite a bit. And so we're really not having challenges from a capacity perspective right now. The Des Moines River is behaving, and although we're not currently using it, I think we would be able to use it if we had to. Certainly a source of last resort again this summer because of microcystin, but at least up through today, the levels are fairly low. And the other, the last point for me, just a point of interest for the board possibly, is that we currently don't have any employees that I'm aware of who are out because of COVID exposure or having tested positive. So we're hanging in there. We are kind of monitoring the ongoing situation. Our focus right now is to try to understand what testing would look like if we decide to go down the road of mandatory testing. We are hearing that other agencies across the state and across the country are starting to require testing for folks who aren't vaccinated, but it's not clear to us how they're going to facilitate that, whether they're bringing testing on site or asking people to do at-home testing or asking them to go somewhere to be tested. And we have some concerns with all of those options. So we're just kind of trying to figure out what that would look like or could look like if that's something we want to do. But we're hanging in there right now and in pretty good shape. And we will keep you posted and provide another update at the board meeting. So that is it for me, unless anyone has questions.
I have a question, Ted, that I heard on, I think it was Iowa Public Radio, they did a story about testing drinking water for manganese. Did you did you hear it? And but I couldn't tell what the source of the manganese was.
Right.
So if you could just talk a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. There's some new interest in manganese as possibly a contaminant of concern with some health effects that I am not an expert on because it's not an issue for us, really. It's much more of an issue for groundwater sources. It's naturally occurring. And so given that so many of the sources in Iowa are groundwater sources, something like 90% of the water utilities in the state use, you know, deeper wells, not alluvial wells like we use, which are very shallow, but deeper wells and have some potential for being impacted by manganese, there's a big question there and a big issue. And so the DNR is requiring source entry point testing for manganese. And even for us, as I understand it, but we're not likely to have it in our surface water sources. And, you know, our lime softening process, I think, would be fairly effective at removing it, even if we did have it in our source waters. But we have had no detectable or problematic levels to this point. But it could be a big issue for a lot of these groundwater sources that really don't treat their water. You know, they just pump it out of the ground and put chlorine in it. And some of them may have serious manganese problems that they're going to have to deal with.
But it's naturally occurring?
It's naturally occurring, yeah. It's just a mineral in the ground, you know. It's naturally occurring. Let me say that.
Okay.
Qualifying what it is exactly.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
If there aren't any other questions for Ted, this is our public comment period. I don't see any public, but anybody else?
I think I recognize everyone online today, Andrea, so okay. I suspect there won't be any public comment.
Well, with that, I'll call a close to the end of the committee meeting, unless anybody else has anything to share.
Great. No, I think we're good.
Great. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.